We're still studying Leviticus, whatever that book is. We're still working on it. And we're getting close to the end. But today, we are in chapter 24. And in order to appreciate the passage which Cynthia read to you from the book of Leviticus, you need to remember the layout of the temple, or the tabernacle. There are, in essence, three important areas. Outside was a large open courtyard. It was the place of assembly, the place where sacrifices were offered on the great bronze altar. And then inside the tabernacle proper, there were just two small rooms. The second of them, the one that was most deeply inside, was entered only by the high priest, and that only at particular prescribed times in the course of the year. Inside that room, there was only one thing, the Ark of the Covenant. This was believed to be God's throne on earth. And this holy room was believed to be the place where God came to meet with his people. They called this room the Holy of Holies. It was regarded by the Jewish people as the most sacred spot on earth. And in front of this room, there was another room, a little larger than the Holy of Holies. It was entered only by Israel's priest. And in this second room, there were just three pieces of furniture, each one made from pure gold. There was the altar of incense, there was the showbread table, and the lampstand. This room is referred to in the Bible as the holy place. And it is certain elements of that room which are important for our consideration this morning. As I said, in that room, one of the pieces of furniture was the great golden lampstand. There it is. Or at least what it may have looked like. There were no windows in the tabernacle. The roof and the sides were made of sea cow hide. So no light could penetrate the coverings of the tent. This lampstand was the only source of light in the two rooms I have described. Without the light from that lampstand, the holy place and the Holy of Holies would have been plunged into total darkness. Everything inside the tabernacle tent depended on the light provided from that lampstand. Now, when I tell you this, there are two passages of Scripture which pop into my mind instantly as I consider the lampstand. The first one comes from Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Bible is the word of God, and it brings us knowledge of the Savior and of the ways of God. It is our guidebook as we struggle to make our way through life and to find out how to live life so as to please God. It brings knowledge of the comforting presence of God to us. It is the light which guides us through life. And without it, we would be plunged into complete darkness. That golden lampstand symbolizes the word of God, which provides light to the whole people of God. But the second passage which comes to my mind when I read this passage from the book of Leviticus comes from the New Testament, from the Gospel of John, where it says, Jesus is the light of the world, John 1, verses 1 to 19. See, there is no salvation apart from Jesus Christ.
There is no other way into heaven except through Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, we are totally lost. He is the light of God sent to bring us out of the darkness of slavery and sin that we might be free. Jesus is the light of the world. He is that lampstand which guides us safely home to heaven. Now you got to put these two images together. For the Bible is the light unto our feet, and it guides us to the Savior, and the Savior is the light which leads us home, and both are represented by that lampstand of pure gold, which stood from the very beginning to light the way for God's people, Israel. But in today's text, God commands the people to bring oil for the lampstand. Now, I want to make this really clear to you. He doesn't tell the priest to get it. He does not say that they are to expect the merchants to provide it. He says that this oil is to be brought by the congregation. It is to come from the people. Are you with me? Now, do I need to get really blunt here? You am the people. So what he's saying is that his people are to bring the oil for the lampstand. It is to be pure olive oil. That is, you can't go out and get some cheap imitation. You can't bring something other than what he wants. What he wants from his people is pure and honest olive oil. And it is to be made from the crushing of the olives. Now, there's two ways to get olive oil. One way is to heat them, heat the olives. And if you cook the olives, the oil will come out of the skin and drip down, and you can collect the oil. The other way is to smash them, grind them up, and the oil will drain out. Now, the oil that comes from the cooking of the olive is not pure enough. What he wants is pure olive oil that comes from the crushing of the olives. You want to get this pure oil? You're not going to get it just by living life. You have to experience the hard stuff of life, which crushes and grinds upon you, and come out standing firm in the Lord, and that's what gives this pure oil that you are to bring. And the purpose of this oil is to keep the lamp burning. You remember that old song? It comes to my mind every time I get here in this sermon. Yeah, give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Okay? We are to bring the oil. Now, folks, in the Bible, oil always represents the Holy Spirit of God. And the oil here, which feeds the great lampstand in the tabernacle, represents the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible teaches that you cannot understand the Scripture, the Bible, unless the Holy Spirit guides you into truth. You with me? Now, there are lots of people out there. In fact, I encountered some this week. There are lots of people out there who think they understand the Bible, who think they know all about it, but who think they understand it in their own knowledge and strength. They don't got it. They don't have a clue. Because you can't understand it without the Holy Spirit being present in your life, without the Holy Spirit in the light. And the Bible explains that unless the Holy Spirit leads you into the Bible, Jesus' act to save you will not make sense to you. Seriously. All that stuff about Jesus dying for you on the cross Makes no sense if the Holy Spirit does not lead you into it. And you all know people who will not yield to that knowledge, who insist that there has to be another way into heaven. This Christian thing can't be right. It's bigoted and narrowed. Jesus cannot be the only door that leads to the Father. They're all out there saying it even now as we're sitting in here rejoicing in the knowledge of the truth. But the reason we know the truth is because the Holy Spirit opened it up to us. And the reason they don't know the truth is because they are not listening yet to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And you want to know something? This truth does not fall into your lap. We want it that way. We just want God to go, and we know it all. But I've been studying the Word of God for my entire adult life. And you know what I can tell you? Every time I delve into it deeper, guess what I find? New truth. And when you dig, you get to the meat. Those olives, folks, have to be crushed. Okay? And that takes work. You got to grind it to make the oil. You got to make it all work by putting some effort into it. And if you want to sit there and do absolutely nothing but listen, think again. You're never going to get to the deep meat of it. Now, I'm going to tell you a little something here, because it says I should tell you this in my notes. Immediately following this service, there are what we call adult Bible fellowships happening in this place. You know why they're happening? So the Holy Spirit can expose you to truth, so that you can get deeper into the other stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't come to the adult Bible fellowship. You go out and have breakfast or go home and sit in your house. You don't do some hard work and some olive crushing. You get the point? We have Bible studies here frequently throughout the week. One's going to happen on Monday night for women. One's going to happen on Tuesday night for men. One happens for youth on Wednesday night. You don't come, and guess what you will miss? The light which comes from the Word of God and which leads you to Jesus Christ the Savior. You'll never get it if you don't crush the olives. And then we have these wonderful things that happen throughout the week here called spiritual growth groups. You can sign up for them right back on that table. There's a few yet left that have spaces. And there, we dig a little deeper. But you gotta come. If you won't crush those olives, if you won't do the work to smash them up, you never get the oil. And yet, if you will just do it, the Holy Spirit will lead you into truth. The truth of the Word and of the Son only comes with struggle and persistence. Think about it. Because it's your job to bring the oil for the lamp. Pure oil. Crushed to keep the lamp burning bright. And then the Bible makes it clear that it was the priest's job to tend the lamps. Now see, it's a partnership. The priest is supposed to make sure that the light never goes out. But the people have got to bring him the oil. If the people don't bring the oil, the priest can't do his job. And if the priest doesn't do his job, the people will not benefit from the oil. Get it? It's all hooked up together. Okay, now I'm going to be really honest with you. It is my job before God to teach you the Word of God. He says to me, I am to be the one who keeps those lamps trimmed and ready. It is my job to make sure that you can come here and be fed by the Holy Spirit every time you come, because the light of the Word and the glory of the Son, not the one in the sky that surprised us all this morning, but Jesus Christ the Son, is shining in this place, and the darkness is driven away. That's my job. Okay? But, and hear me now, without the oil, there can be no light from the lamp. Will you pray with me, please? Our Father, you have spoken to us. You have told us our jobs. You did it in the Old Testament, way back in the book of Leviticus. And oh my, how we fight. We don't want to crush olives. We don't want to be the olives that are crushed. We want it all nice and pleasant, delivered on silver trays with straws in the bottles so we can sip. And yet that's not the way you want it. And you say to us, here it is, I've given it to you, I've prepared it for you throughout time, I have given it to you. Every page declares my truth, but you work it, you study it, you know it. Create in us a desire to study your word, that we may know him who is the light of the world. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we did the lampstand. There is also in that room a table made of pure gold upon which the showbread was kept. 12 large loaves, one for each of Israel's 12 tribes, made of the very best flour. Now, you got to hang here with me. We think there may be a problem with the size of the loaves. Okay? An epheth is equal to about 2 quarts. Okay? And if you made loaves with the prescribed measure that appears in the book of Leviticus, you would end up with loaves. Okay, really big ones. And the interesting thing is that in the text, the word ephah does not appear. Okay, so it's a measure of something, but we're not exactly sure what, because the instructions were written by man. And he forgot to tell us whether it's cups or bushels. Typical man thought. Okay, but if these are made from ephahs, which is the normal measurement, they are huge, huge loaves of bread. And they were to bring 12 of them each week. They were to be made of the finest flour. You know why? I'm going to tell you why. Smile. Come on, smile. The people of God are the finest people on earth. Okay? There is nobody like us if we live according to the light that comes from the Word. Okay, because then our hearts are open to God and we are anxious to do all the things that God wants us to do, to show to each other the love of God and to show the light of the world to the world. We are motivated by the right thing. And if that's the case, we are the finest people on earth. But I like this part. They are to be baked with yeast, the symbol of sin. Because even amongst the finest of us, it's there. It's there. And you, though fine folks you be, all know the truth. We really aren't so fine because we're marked by sin until Jesus comes. The bread was to be arranged on the table. Or stacked. There's somebody's example of what it may have looked like. On top of it or sprinkled around it was to be incense. Now, if you are very bright and have been keeping all of these things in your mind as we make our way through the book of Leviticus, you will know that this bread was to be offered as a grain offering to the Lord, and that the prescription is exactly that which a grain offering is supposed to have. It's supposed to be bread of the finest flour baked with yeast, with incense mixed into it, the symbol of prayer. It's all supposed to be there. When a grain offering is offered, only a portion, a handful of it, was burnt. The rest of it was given to the priest to eat, it was their portion. And the same thing is true with this bread. It was brought early on the Sabbath, fresh, baked, and warm, placed on the golden table, and it remained there for 7 days. And then at the end of the week, when new bread was brought to be placed on the table, the priest got the old stuff to eat. Are you ready for this? Yeah, see, it was really good bread a week before. Okay, nice, warm, and hot, and soft, and all that good stuff that bread should be smelled so wonderful when it was put there before the Lord. But it sat there for a week. And then it was given to the priest to eat. It was weak, old bread when the priest finally got it. Yeah, I love Dawn's face. Okay, she's into weak old bread. See, when it starts out, the people of God am wonderful, the finest flour. But there is this yeast in us, this sin. And sometimes, I don't want to, you know, really sound like I'm out of it here, but I got to tell you, sometimes working with you all is like eating weak old bread. Okay, you are sometimes such stubborn people. Okay, I keep telling you over and over again what's good for you. I keep telling you where you need to be. Okay, when you're troubled and pressed, when stuff is getting to you, do you know where you need to go? To the house of the Lord. And you know what you do? I know what you do because I see you do it all the time. Stuff gets you. Okay, you want to sleep because you're tired, you had a late night. And you do what you want, even though it's not good for you. You do. Don't you? It's like eating weak old bread. And I tell you over and over again that you need to get yourself out to ABF. You need to get yourself to a Bible study. You need to be involved in a spiritual growth group. And some of you do, but most of you just think, oh, he's just talking. It's like eating weak old bread. You catching on here? That's why the priests don't get the show bread until it's a week old, because there is a lesson contained in it. It's like eating weak old bread sometimes to work with the people of God, because they just won't use what God has given them to get good and healthy and right. You get it, right? I don't have to say anymore. Now, to the scholars, it really seems strange that God would bring bread into the holy place. I mean, we need the olive oil for the light. Okay, we could have put some nice knickknacks on the table. Maybe a cross. Okay, some pretty flowers. But he wants bread. 12 big fat loaves of bread. Because what he's driving home is a symbol. See, that bread was brought week after week into the holy place to serve as a reminder to the nation of Israel. For the scripture makes clear that those loaves, those 12 loaves, represent the 12 tribes of the people of Israel. And they are carried every week into the very presence of God. Because God wants his people to know that they never leave his mind. And they are never out of his heart. Those 12 loaves are there to remind Israel that God loves them. And that they are always near to his throne. He put those 12 loaves on that table to say to them, he is always Emmanuel. Not just the light of the world, but God with them. And he wants us to know today that we are close to his heart. And we are always in his mind. And that wherever we go, he's with us. He is still today, Emmanuel.